You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.
On November 14th, the provincial government introduced the new BC Family Law Act in the legislature. The act received royal assent on Thursday and will come into effect over the next 12 to 18 months. The new law replaces the BC Family Relations Act, which has not been amended since 1978. Among other changes, the new law places an emphasis on out-of-court settlements. It also includes an expanded definition of family violence. Laura Track is legal director with West Coast LEAF, the Women's Legal Education and Action Fund. West Coast LEAF made submissions to the government consultation process on this new law in 2007 and 2010. Laura Track joins me by phone this morning. Hello, Laura, and welcome to Red Eye.
Thanks very much. Good morning.
Let's look, first of all, at the new emphasis on out-of-court settlements. What will this new emphasis look like on the ground?
I think what it will look like is that we'll see a lot fewer cases proceeding to a court hearing, and we'll see cases diverted to mediation and to family court counselors to hopefully come to resolutions outside of court. And West Coast LEAF is really supportive of that as a principle. One concern that we've expressed, though, is that family situations involving violence, family violence, are not appropriate to go through those diversionary measures. It just doesn't make sense. It isn't good practice to have a family that's marked by violence and extreme power imbalances to be proceeding through a mediation that really is premised on equality of bargaining power. And so in those kinds of situations, we think it's really important that the parties are still able to access court.
Well, that sounds like a reasonable change. What needs to be in place to make the out-of-court settlements work effectively?
I think to make the entire act work effectively, in fact, what we really need to see is significant resourcing to all of these professionals who are tasked with undertaking really challenging family problems and coming to resolutions. So if we're going to be seeing this shift towards mediation and family court counseling, we need to ensure that those professionals have the resources that they need to do that really difficult job. And that's going to involve significant amounts of training to ensure that they're well able to analyze and assess situations of family violence. You mentioned in your introduction that this new focus on recognizing family violence is a really significant change to the new Family Law Act. It's a really positive change that ensures that everyone who is interacting with the family in the situation is aware of the possibility of the presence of violence and is factoring into that, into their responses. And what needs to be in place to ensure that that is done effectively is training for those professionals, and that they're able to recognize those dynamics.
What professionals are we talking about here? Are we talking about psychologists or police officers?
We are definitely talking about the mediators and the family court counselors who are going to be involved in family cases that don't go to court. The Act also makes provision for what are called parenting coordinators, folks that work with the two parents to come to good decisions about custody and access and what that's going to look like. And it's really important that all of those people, and that would include judges as well, judges that are making decisions about custody and access of kids, really need to be aware of the dynamics of family violence.
What would happen, say, for people whose first language is not English, but they have to go through this mediation process? Is there anything in this act that will help them in this process?
That's a great question, and unfortunately there was not. We were really hoping that those kinds of resources would be provided right in the legislation, because we've seen that's a huge barrier for families where one or both parents don't have English as their first language. It's a really significant setback to overcome when you're trying to go through these processes and you are not able to speak the language of the mediator. So translation services are absolutely essential. Another place where they're absolutely essential is, you just mentioned police a moment ago, when police are responding to situations of family violence. there isn't provision in law at the moment for a translator to be present, and that's something that we would like to see changed as well.
Well, what happens when there is violence in the family? Does this emphasis on out-of-court settlements then change to a different kind of situation?
What we're hoping that this act brings us closer towards is an integration between the criminal court system and the family court system. What we have seen and heard from advocates and from women themselves is that sometimes these two legal systems are working at cross purposes to one another. So a woman experiencing violence from her spouse may have secured a restraining order in criminal court against her spouse, preventing him from coming to the family home. But in the context of her divorce, she has an access order from the family court that provides that he is to access the children. And so we have these two conflicting orders. Complying with the access order could well put the woman in danger and conflicts with the restraining order. And so women are navigating these competing and sometimes conflicting systems at the same time. So what we're hoping is that the shift to recognizing family violence within the family courts, and also the provision that allows judges to issue what are called protection orders, a little bit different than restraining orders, but right within the context of the family court, a more sort of holistic picture of the situation can be taken, and a more nuanced and appropriate response can come out of that.
What about the definition of, from what I understand, the definition of family violence has been expanded to include psychological and emotional abuse, which is a positive change. In comments on a government white paper in October last year, your organization, West Coast Leaf, was calling for this definition to include threats of deportation. Why is this important?
We have heard and know from the experiences of women and their advocates who speak with us that this is a major way that the spouses of immigrant women control their spouses and keep them in violent marriages is by threatening to revoke their sponsorship and threatening to have them deported. It is a tactic of control and a tactic of oppression, and something that we were hoping to see explicitly recognized in the new Family Law Act. I think that it is captured by the terms psychological abuse, those kinds of threats to immigration status, but nevertheless to really explicitly recognize it and set it out there in law as a message to people who might seek to employ those kinds of tactics, we think is a missed opportunity.
We talked a little about the issue of translation and that translation needs to be funded. But the legal aid has been cut dramatically in recent years. What impact does that have on families in crisis?
That's such an important piece of all of this. To make family law work, to make our legal system work, we really need to be investing in legal aid services. And the cuts to legal aid that this province has experienced over the past 10 years have really disproportionately fallen on family law services and on women's ability to access those services. In the context of the breakdown of a marriage and dealing with custody and access disputes, it tends to be the woman who is disadvantaged in that, in those situations, by economic reasons, by the fact that she's more likely to have worked low-wage jobs or part-time jobs and to have been the primary caregiver of the children. And in the context of the breakdown of relationships, she's also more likely to be economically disadvantaged by that. And so having adequate services for when court cases simply do have to go to court, when mediation and family counseling and all of those other out-of-court mechanisms are just unable to resolve the problem, women need to be able to access justice and access the courts to find a resolution to their problem. And without legal aid, low-income women simply aren't going to be able to do that.
Well, thanks so much, Laura, for joining us today and for your input on this new and complex act.
You're very welcome. Thank you very much for having me.
I've been speaking with Laura Track, Legal Director for West Coast Leaf, the Women's Legal Education and Action Fund.